So last time I did a lot of I guess more modern poets, but there's also stuff like the Queen of England and like Yosuno Akiko and Emily Dickinson. I do have another Emily Dickinson one because, quite frankly, she wrote a lot of erotic poetry. Anyway, I thought I would start off with a classic writer. I'm going to do The Fragments of Love and Desire by Sappho. I'm sure everyone's heard of her. Fantastic writer. But these are just kind of like the fragmented poems that we have left. We don't have a lot of surviving ones, especially in her native dialect, just because, I mean, it was ancient Greece. Anyway, let's start this. The first fragment we have is just, "You burn me." Which, I mean, that's kind of romantic in a way, right? I don't know. The second fragment we have is, "Remembering those things we did in our youth, many beautiful things." I don't think we know what she's talking about, huh? Sorry. A third fragment we have is, "Again and again, because those I care for best do me most harm." Oh, that's sad. I'm just reading the fragments in the order that we have them, so some sad ones might get in here. Oh, poor Sappho. The fourth fragment is, "You came, and I was mad for you, and you cooled my mind that burned with longing." I think we've all been with someone like that. Someone that just, I don't know, they just, there's something about them that you just fall for instantly, and they make you feel like you're complete or something. I don't know. I get it though. The fifth one is, "Once long ago I loved you, Aethys. A little graceless child you seem to me." That's it. That one's just, how many, oh god, we have a lot. I think I'm gonna cut it off at 10. Just because I do want to continue, and I don't want this just to be a whole Sappho reading. But if we want a whole Sappho thing, let me know. So this sixth little fragment is, "Nightingale, herald of spring, with a voice of longing." And that's just kind of where it ends, sadly. I'm sure it was going to be really pretty, though. Seven is, "Eros, again now. The loosener of li loose oh fuck. Let me try this again. Eros, again now. The loosener of limbs troubles me. Bittersweet, sly, uncontrollable creature." That one was gonna be pretty spicy, I think. So this eighth fragment is really sad. I'm just gonna be real here. It's, "But you have forgotten me." And ouch, that hurts. The ninth one is also short, but it's not as sad. It's just, "You and my servant Eros." And then finally, the 10th one that I am doing. Hold on. I need a drink. Is anyone else's allergies acting up? All right. Anyway, the 10th one. "Like the sweet apple reddening high on the branch, high on the highest, the apple pickers forgot." Wah or blah. Fucked up. Okay. All right, let's try this again. "Like the sweet apple reddening high on the branch, high on the highest, the apple pickers forgot." Or not forgotten, but one they couldn't reach. That was my neighbor's car. But you know what? I'm not having a good time with Sappho. I love her works, but like, my voice is not doing it today. It's like we're not pronouncing it. So those were some 10 little fragments of hers. Now let's go on to another one. Now this one is a poem called Mine by Jade A. Waters. But I thought it was kind of really neat. yeah. Whew. He comes to me, naked, hands outstretched, offering wrists I've bound so many times, kissed so often, in this beautiful world we share. I am yours, he says, kneeling in quiet, waiting. So I circle him, appraising the strong width of his shoulders, the sheen of his skin, and the way his stomach flexes when I move close. But more than that, the lift of his cock once I spread my feet just outside his thighs. Tonight, I will fuck you, I say. My way until I come. He nods, stretches hands out farther between my knees, lifts his eyes to my naked cunt, and I can tell by the look on his face he doesn't need me to bind him. Not today. He is mine. I lace my fingers in his hair, thrust myself against his lips, and close my eyes at the instant way he slides his tongue along me. He is eager, needing to please, and doing it perfectly, deliciously well. I clutch him closer, loving the sound of his breath and the smash of me to him. He is good, so good. Tongue circling, sucking my clit, slipping inside and making me gasp. But when I come, he grins, little devil, as if he thinks he's gotten away with something I hadn't planned. Silly, silly boy. I push him back, admire the hard length of his cock, and smirk. He's panting when I straddle him, louder even when I slip him inside, and it's clear he's not deserving, not just yet. Of course, he feels incredible, but I won't move. Not while he's wriggling or giving me that look. I told him how this would be. So, with him throbbing, I rub my clit, throw back my head, and give a good show of making myself come. He tenses, teeth digging in his lips. And when I ask, well, he whispers, yes, I am yours, before his cock lurches, as if with certainty, inside of me. I take a good, strong grind, savoring his desperate moan, and then, only then, do I begin fucking this delightful little lover of mine. I like that one. That is actually a really fun thing to do. Not gonna lie, just sitting on someone and making them kind of wait and beg for it. I should do an audio like that. How many of you guys would like that? I bet a lot of you actually would. Alright. What's this one? This one is... You know what? I think actually, yeah. I read this one last time. Whoops. I just really like this one, I'm not gonna lie. So we're not gonna read that one. Instead, we're gonna go to Charles Bukowski. Yay! Yeah, he was a poet from 1920 to 1994. And short-circuiting. And this is his poem called The Shower. But let me take a sip first of my water because it is a little bit of a long one. A lot of these are longer ones just because, I don't know, I was feeling a little spicy. Yes, I'm drinking out of an aluminum cup. Don't at me. The shower. We like to shower afterwards. I like the water hotter than she, and her face is always soft and peaceful, and she'll wash me first, spread the soap over my balls, lift the balls, squeeze them, then wash the cock. Hey, this thing is still hard. Then get all the hair down there, the belly, the back, the neck, the legs. I grin, grin, grin. And then I wash her. First, the cunt. I stand behind her, my cock in the cheeks of her ass, and I gently soap up the cunt hairs. Wash there with soothing motion. I linger, perhaps longer than necessary. Then I get the backs of the legs, the ass, the back, the neck. I turn her, kiss her, soap up the breasts. Get them in the belly, the neck, the front of the legs, the ankles, the feet, and then the cunt once more for luck. Another kiss, and she gets out first, toweling, sometimes singing while I stay in, turn the water on hotter, feeling the good times of love's miracle. I then get out. It is usually mid-afternoon and quiet. In getting dressed, we talk about what else there might be to do. But being together solves most of it. For as long as those things stay solved, in the history of women and man, it's different for each. For me, it's splendid enough to remember past the memories of pain and defeat and unhappiness. When you take it away, do it slowly and easily. Make it as if I were dying in my sleep instead of in my life. Amen. I like that one too. I don't know why I keep saying that after all of them. Like, obviously I like them. I pick them. God. All right. So this is another Emily Dickinson one. And for people who do not think she was a lesbian, I present to you, her breast is fit for pearls. Her breast is fit for pearls, but I was not a diver. Her brow is fit for thrones, but I had not a crest. Her heart is fit for a home. I, a sparrow, built there. Sweet of twigs and twine, my perennial nest. So I know it's a really short one, but it's very clearly about it, two women being in love. And I'm not going to back down. This is the hill I will die on. She's very queerly, very clearly a lesbian. Anyway, that's just my little two cents. We're going to do another by my... I can't speak today, God. I am going to do another by my favorite erotic poet. Jesus Christ, I can't speak today. You ever have those days? I'm sure I can't be the only person who does stuff with their voice, and there's just some days the words don't work. Like, I start a sentence, and I don't know where it goes. It goes somewhere else. Alrighty. This one is by one of my favorite erotic poets, E.E. Cummings. I know he's very popular, but, like, I mean, he has over 3,000 poems. There's a reason he's popular. He wrote very well, and he has a lot of poems. Like, one of them's bound to get popular. So this one is called Lady, I Will Touch You With My Mind. I believe this is number 27, but correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Lady, I will touch you with my mind. Touch you and touch and touch. Oh, I need to restart this. Asthma. Alrighty. Take two. Lady, I will touch you with my mind. Touch you and touch and touch until you give me a suddenly give fuck. Fuck. I fucked up again. Oh my God, I am so sorry. You know, this was supposed to be a sexy time, and it's just turning into chaotic time with Lofton. All right, okay, hold on. I got this. I can do this. I'm more determined now to do it than anything. Lady, I will touch you with my mind. Touch you and touch and touch until you give me suddenly a smile, shyly obscene. Lady, I will touch you with my mind. Touch you, that is all. Lightly, and you utterly will become, with infinite care, the poem which I do not write. Give me a hand. I did it without messing up. Okay. God, that was a lot harder than it should have been. I'm not gonna lie, because the next one is a very famous poem that is super long. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It is by the poet W.H. Auden. He was actually, I think he was, I don't remember, but I think he was friends with Isherwood, if you know Christopher Isherwood. I love Christopher Isherwood. He wrote about what it was like being a queer immigrant in Germany during the rise of Nazi Germany with books like the Berlin Stories. Also, the musical Cabaret is actually based on the Berlin Stories, which is actually two books in one. But yeah, Isherwood was one of the first openly queer authors. And yeah. I just think that was a really cool, fun little fact. And this is called The Platonic Blow by W.H. Auden. This is a long one. Do you think we can get through it without me messing up too much? I bet I could do it in one go. Let me take a. Okay. I'm gonna do this. We're gonna do this. I also just really quickly before I start, and I know, I'm being awful, but I just really think it's interesting to see the difference between female erotic writers and male erotic writers and like what they find attractive, because as you will see, is like compared with like Sappho or Emily Dickinson, Auden, it, like he focuses a lot more on like the physicality, and that is okay. Anyway, sorry, that's just another niche interest of mine. All right, anyway, for real, The Platonic Blow by W.H. Auden. It was a spring day. A day for a lay, when the air smelled like a locker room, a day to blow or get blown. Returning from lunch, I turned my corner, and there, on a nearby stoop, I saw him standing alone. I glanced as I advanced. The clean white t-shirt outlined a forceful torso, the light blue denims divulged much. I observed the snug curves where they hugged the behind. Fuck! Okay, let's start again. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. And I'm also gonna do this one with SFX because it is long and I think it really just lends itself to it. But yeah. It was a spring day, a day for LA, when the air smelled like a locker room, a day to blow or get blown. Returning from lunch, I turned my corner, and there, on a nearby stoop, I saw him standing alone. I glanced as I advanced. The clean white t-shirt outlined a forceful torso. The light blue denims divulged much. I observed the snug curves where they hugged the behind. I watched the crotch where the cloth intriguingly bulged. Our eyes met. I felt sick. My knees turned weak. I couldn't move. I didn't know what to say. In a blur, I heard words, myself like a stranger speak. "Will you come by my room?" Then a husky voice. "Okay." I produced some beer and we talked. Like a little boy, he told me his story. Present address, next door. Half Polish, half Irish. The youngest, from Illinois. Profession, mechanic. Name, Bud. Age, 24. He put down his glasses and stretched his bare arms along the back of my sofa. The afternoon sunlight struck the blonde hairs on the wrist near my head. His chin was strong, his mouth sucky. I could hardly believe my luck. And here he was sitting beside me, legs apart. I could bear it no longer. I touched the inside of his thigh. His reply was to move closer. I trembled. My heart thumped and jumped as my fingers went to his fly. I opened a gap in the flap. I went in there. I sought for a slit in the gripper shorts that had charge of the basket I asked for. I came to warm flesh, then to hair. I went on. I found what I hoped. I groped. It was large. He responded to my fondling in a charming, disarming way. Without a word, he unbuckled his belt while I felt and lolled back, stretching his legs. His pants fell away. Carefully drawing it out, I beheld what I held. The circumcised head was a work of mastercraft, with perfectly beveled rim of unusual weight. In the friendliest red, even relaxed, the shaft was of noble dimensions with the wrinkles that indicate singular powers of extension. For a second or two, it lay there inert, then suddenly stirred in my hand, then paused as if frightened or doubtful of what to do, and then, with a violent jerk, began to expand. By soundless bounds, it extended and distended. By quick, great leaps, it rose. It flushed. It rushed to its full size. Nearly 9 inches long and 3 inches thick. A royal column, ineffably solemn and wise. I tested its length and strength with a manual squeeze. I bunched my fingers and twirled them about the knob. I stroked it from top to bottom. I got on my knees. I lowered my head. I opened my mouth for the job. But he pushed me gently away. He bent down. He unlaced his shoes. He removed his socks. Stood up. Shed his pants altogether. Muscles in arms and waist rippled as he whipped his t-shirt over his head. I scanned his tan. Enjoyed the contrast of brown, trunk against white shorts, taut around small hips. With a dig and a wriggle, he peeled them down. I tore off my clothes. He faced me, smiling. I saw all. The gorgeous organ stood stiffly and straight out, with a slight flare upwards. At each beat of his heart, it threw an odd little nod my way. From the slot of the spout, exuded a drop of transparent viscous goo. The layer of hair was fair, the grove of a young man, a tangle of curls and whirls, luxuriant but couth, except for the spur of golden hairs that fanned to the neat navel. The rest of the belly was smooth, well hung, slung from the fork of his muscular legs, the firm vase of his sperm, like a bulging pear, cradling its handsome glands. Two Herculean eggs swung as he came towards me, shameless, bare. We aligned mouths, we entwined. All act was clutch, all fact contact. The attack in the interlocks of tongues, the charms of arms. I shook at the touch of his fresh flesh, I rocked at the shock of his cock. Straddling my legs a little, I inserted his divine person between and closed on it tight as I could. The upright warmth of his belly lay all along mine. Nude, glued together for a minute, we stood. I stroked the lobes of his ears, the back of his head, and the broad shoulders. I took bold hold of the compact globes of his bottom. We tottered. He fell on the bed, lips parted, eyes closed. He lay there, ripe for the acts. Mad to be had, to be felt and smelled. My lips explored the adorable masculine tits. My eyes assessed the chest. I caressed the athletic hips and the slim limbs. I approved of the grooves of the thighs. I hugged and snuggled into an armpit. I sniffed the subtle whiff of its tuft. I lapped up the taste of its hot hollow. My fingers began to drift. On a trek of inspection, a leisurely tour of the waist, downward in narrowing circles, they playfully strayed, encroached on his privates, like poachers approach the prick, but teasingly swerved, retreated from meeting. It betrayed its pleading knee by a pretty imploring kick. "Shall I rim you?" I whispered. He shifted his limbs in assent, turned on his side and opened his legs. Let me pass to the dark parts behind. I kissed as I went, the great thick cord that ran back from his balls to his arse. Prying the buttocks aside, I nosed my way in, down the shaggy slopes, and came to the puckered goal. It was quick to my liking. He pressed his crotch to my chin. His thighs squirmed as my tongue wormed in his hole. His sensations yearned for consummation. He untucked. His legs lay panting, hot as a teenage boy. Naked, enlarged, charged, aching to get sucked, clawing the sheet while his pores opened to joy. I inspected his erection. I surveyed his parts with a stare from scrotum level. Sighting along the underside of his cock, I looked through the forest of pubic hair, to the range of the chest beyond, rising loftily and wide. I admired the texture, the delicate wrinkles and the neat sutures of a capacious bag. I adored the grace of the male genitalia. I raised the delicious meat up to my mouth, brought the face of its hard-on to my face, slipping my lips around the Byzantine dome of the head. With the tip of my tongue, I caressed the sensitive groove. He thrilled to the trill. "That's lovely," he hoarsely said. "Go on, go on." Very slowly, I started to move. Gently, intently, I slid to the massive base of his power tower. Paused there a moment, down in the warm, moist thicket, then began to retrace, inch by inch, the smooth way to the throbbing crown. Indwelling excitement swelled at the delights to come, as I descended and ascended those thick, distended walls. I grasped his root between left forefinger and thumb, and with my right hand tickled his heavy, voluminous balls. I plunged with a rhythmic lunge, steady and slow, and at the stroke made a corkscrew roll with my tongue. His soul reeled in the feeling. He whimpered. "Oh." As I tongued and squeezed and rolled and tickled and swung, then I pressed on the spot where the groin is joined to the cock, slipped a finger into his arse and massaged him from behind, from inside. The secret sluices of his juices began to unlock. He melted into what he felt. "Oh, Jesus," he cried. Waves of immeasurable pleasures mounted his member in quick spasms. I lay still in the notch of his crotch, inhaling his sweat. his ring convulsed around my finger, into me, rich and thick. His hot spunk spouted in gouts, spurted in, jet after jet. I apologize for my computer making a noise. That poem was so long, my computer literally went into battery saving mode. But yeah, that poem has always been really intimidating to me because it is a very long poem. It took like 10 minutes to read, and the imagery makes me laugh. I don't know if you could tell. Probably could, because I just... phrases like voluminous balls. It makes me laugh. Like... be honest with me. Is that a thing? Are voluminous balls a thing? Like, do people go, your balls are so voluminous? Because I'm going to be honest with anyone I've ever been with that has that. They don't want you to say that. That's not a thing. Do you? I'm sorry. I know it's a poem, so it's like, it's meant to be like romantic and stuff, but I don't. This poem never felt romantic to me. It felt like someone trying to romanticize a sex scene, but doing it very badly, like in a fan fiction type of way. Because that's like shit you would read on AO3, right? Like, anyway, yeah. After reading the full thing again, I am reminded why I never want to actually do a serious reading of that poem and do it with SFX, so that cured me of that one. Again, I will probably get it in a few months where I will read it. But yeah, this was a fun little casual poetry Saturday with Lofnan, and I hope you all have a great night, great rest of the day, whatever you're doing, and I will see you on Sunday, hopefully, because I have a fun little audio planned. All right, bye guys.